W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Clear.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Authorities in Pennsylvania updating us this hour after the arrest of a suspect in connection with the November murders of four Idaho college students. Here's what we know so far.
Authorities arrested 28-year-old Brian Christopher Koberger in eastern Pennsylvania Friday in connection with the stabbing deaths of four University of Idaho students. The suspect was taken into custody near Scranton. He is expected to be charged with four homicides.
CBS's Dina Demetrius. A congressional committee has released several years of former President Trump's tax returns that he had fought to keep secret. CBS's Skylar Henry has the latest from Washington.
6 years of tax returns belonging to former President Donald Trump that wheeled through the U.S. Capitol in boxes last week were released online by the House Ways and Means Committee Friday morning. Congressional analysis of personal and business tax forms from 2015 to 2020 revealed the former First Family reported more losses than gains in 6 years since 2015. And Trump paid only $750 in federal taxes in 2016 and 17 and nothing in 2020.
The returns take on added significance now that Trump has launched another run for the White House. Multiple rounds of rainfall happening out west in parts of California and the Sierra Nevada region. National Weather Service meteorologist William Churchill with details on this rain event.
We're looking at repeated rounds of rainfall over the next week, sort of three distinct rounds. A lot of moisture channeled from the equatorial regions of the Pacific. Today we're looking at probably the biggest of the three rounds, what we would kind of classify as a stronger atmospheric river, bringing just over the next 12 hours some totals of 3 to 5 inches along portions of the Northern California coastline.
The storm system will bring much needed rain to a region that has been struggling with drought conditions. Roman Catholics are gathering in Rome to pray for 95-year-old Pope Emeritus Benedict, who is very ill. Mary Kamani is among them.
I just came from night duty from the hospital. I'm a medical doctor. And I came straight from work. I've not gone home to sleep. I just came here to pray for him so that God will accompany him.
Pope Benedict retired in 2013. Do you plan to celebrate New Year's Eve with fireworks? Doctors say be careful.
Dr. Goldstein says he's also seen injuries with bar rockets and especially sparklers that could catch your clothes on fire. He says when lighting a firework, stand clear and to go to the hospital or urgent care when it's necessary.
So if you have more than, you know, a palm-sized burn, then that's a significant burn and something that needs to be addressed pretty quickly.
WTOC-TV reporter Camille Syed in Savannah. This is CBS News.
Brought to you by Clear, a faster, easier way through airport security. Try today for 2 months free by visiting clearme.com/CBS22 or use code CBS20. WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. The most powerful Republican in Wisconsin state government says he'll try to make sure Donald Trump is not his party's nominee for president in 2024. Assembly Speaker Robert Voss tells the Journal Sentinel the GOP needs a more positive, forward-looking message. Trump was seen as a drag on Republican candidates statewide in November, especially in Milwaukee's reliably Republican suburbs. People fighting homelessness and opioid addiction will get help from a new state housing program announced this week. The Recovery Voucher Program will aim to provide affordable and safe housing to homeless people with opioid use disorder. Some of the money comes from Wisconsin's share of a settlement with major drug distributors and Johnson & Johnson for their roles in the opioid epidemic. In sports, the Bucks host Minnesota tonight. Badger men's basketball welcomes Western Michigan. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry.
What am I fearing? Why do I worry at all?
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com. A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Man, I love my kids so much. I once sat for 3 hours in the cold rain to watch her soccer team lose by 18 goals.
I love my kids so much. I once used a tube to suck snot out of her stuffed nose at 3 a.m.
You win.
Love your kids? Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat. From toddlers to tweens, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat to find the right seat for their age and size. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Suddenly, my quarterback is the number one trending topic. Why, you might ask, is Aaron Rodgers trending on Twitter? He's out this game. He's got COVID-19. And to my perception, he freaking lied to us, man. I'm very frustrated that he is not eligible to play this Sunday, especially when you find out your quarterback is a half a Trumpster. And he claims, I'm not a flat earther. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I just play one in the NFL. That pisses me off, man. I was going to bet on that team. Maybe. New time, 3 to 6 p.m. And Dom.
You care for the house, the kids, and our future. A Shiro's day is never done. So let's start saving a little more now. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. Visit AsiaRetirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy tonight with lows around 23. Northwest winds around 5 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 36. Chance for mixed precipitation tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 30. Overcast. Overcast skies Sunday with highs in the low 40s. Chance for scattered rain showers Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Special Report. An arrest in Pennsylvania and the stabbing deaths of four University of Idaho students. James Fry is the police chief in Moscow, Idaho.
Detectives arrested 28-year-old Brian Christopher Koberger in Albrightsville, Pennsylvania, on a warrant for murders of Ethan, Zena, Madison, and Kaylee.
CBS's Dina Demetrius has more details.
The development is the biggest in the case since the November fatal stabbings of Kaylee Gonsalves, Madison Mogan, Ethan Chapin, and Zana Kernodle. The students' bodies were found at a rental home near campus sometime in the early morning hours. Autopsies showed all four were likely asleep during the deadly attacks.
There was no discussion of motive or circumstances in the killings that initially mystified law enforcement and shook the small town of Moscow, Idaho. CBS News Special Report.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. A teenage driver is under arrest accused of causing a wrong-way crash on Interstate 9094 near the Wisconsin Dells the other night. State troopers say the 18-year-old showed signs of impairment right after the crash. Now they face charges after a field sobriety test and a blood draw. One person in the other vehicle was killed. Other people injured in the crash are expected to recover. The Wisconsin National Guard would be subject to more scrutiny if a number of bills in the state legislature become law. The Guard would have to report to the governor and state lawmakers about efforts to confront and stop sexual assault. The bills come after a report into failures at the National Guard base in Madison. In sports, the Bucks host Minnesota tonight. Badger men's basketball welcomes Western Michigan. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. I was reminded of Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
I was reminded of Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
that former President Donald Trump had a top aide ask his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, whether it be possible to trade. Just days after the presidential election was called for Joe Biden in 2020. If you can't make some money off it, what good is it, Dom?
Exactly.
The information was revealed in emails provided by Kushner, an advisor to the Trump White House, and released as part of the final batches of transcripts from the House January 6th Select Committee. Here's a quote, Tom. On November 9th, 2020, then Trump aide Dan Scavino emailed Kushner, Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor, with the request from Trump, reported Tierney Sneed and others. Hey, Jared, POTUS wants to trademark own the rights to below. I don't know who to see or ask. I don't know who to take to. You know, like when someone proposes something really crazy, but he's the president of the United States, who do you go ask? Apparently, it could only be Jared. So anyways, Scavino, who's a true believer by all indications, Dom, goes to Jared with the big ask. Anyways, Jared's testimony to the committee, which was released by panel on Friday, two phrases were bolded in the email. Here are the two things that Donald Trump wanted to trademark, Dom. Save America PAC! Exclamation point. And rigged election! Exclamation point. Kushner forwarded the request and discussed it on an email chain that included Eric Trump, the president's son, Alex Cannon, a Trump campaign lawyer, Sean Dolman, the chief financial officer of Trump's 2020 campaign, and Justin Clark, a Trump campaign lawyer, who said the report, knowing that Kushner wrote, guys, can we do ASAP, please? You know, can we please make the unreasonable come true? Because my father-in-law is asking. Ultimately, and I find this ironic, Tom, ultimately, Eric Trump responded back that web domains for both of those terms were already taken. How low is the former president's son that like 10 different people have to email chain each other and say the president wants to trademark rigged election, and Eric Trump is the guy who's got to go Google rigged election and find out, no, someone already went to GoDaddy. And then he's got to go back to his daddy.
But he's also eager to please, man. You know, daddy wants something. Eric will step up for you, Dad. I'm here for you.
Can I have a hug, Dad, please? Please, Dad. The committee ultimately released a scathing final report accusing Trump of being central to inciting the attack on the U.S. Capitol and heavily involved in the illegal plots to overturn the vote, and referred Trump to the Justice Department on four proposed criminal charges. You know, Dom's bold prediction for next year, a perp walk for Donald Trump. Like to hear yours. 844-967-2789. Maybe we should simplify the phone number next year. Like 111-111-111.
844-96-PARTY, man. It doesn't get any easier than that. We've been doing it for 11 years. Why do you keep forgetting the number, man?
Short-term memory loss. Can't tell you why.
It's been a long time. In the same vein, perhaps we should follow, you know, Trump's advice here. Not, you know, trademarking rigged election, but, you know, the greatest radio show ever. I don't think we can do the Devil's Advocates. That's, you know, everyone knows the Devil's Advocates. But the greatest radio show ever? I mean, that could be something.
.us? You know, someone's out there stealing your good idea right now.
Yeah, well, you know, story of my life. But what does this say about Trump's state of mind, though, right? If you were so concerned, so very concerned about a rigged election and it being stolen from you, would your one of your first thoughts be to, God, can I trademark that so I can make some money off of it?
Merchandising! Where the real money from the movie's made. If you're Donald Trump and most of your positive income actually comes from trademarking your name and likeness, Dom. That's the first thing you think. I got to make a t-shirt.
He didn't believe it.
Well, I don't believe that he believed it. No, you're right. You got more?
Also.
Also. What? There's also, more?
No, the transcripts. I mean, again, this is a Friday before New Year's Eve, and I know there's not a lot of live radio going on, but we're doing it because this matters. We want to bring it to you. CNN also reporting on Jenny Thomas, and this was one I was waiting for, so at least it was released. Now, this was an interview. It was not under oath, but CNN has some notes here. She's a conservative activist and wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. Yes.
Before you get to Jenny Thomas, I've got just a little more on Jared Kushner.
Oh, you do?
Jared apparently was the one that broke the news of the loss to Donald Trump. And we've got the transcripts as that's being described. I'd like to throw that out briefly and then on to Jenny Thomas. Dominic, on Friday, Newsweek reported that newly released transcripts from the House J6 Select Committee revealed that former President Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, a key advisor in the Trump White House, testified about the former president's reaction when he was first told he lost the election. Right? This goes to the heart of the matter. Did he believe it, that it was a rigged election? You know, the thing he wanted to get trademarked. Here is how it's being reported, Dom. Specifically, Jared claims he barely reacted at all. On Friday, Washington Examiner reporter Cami Mondau tweeted a transcript showing testimony of Kushner's responses to the committee about Trump's reaction moment he learned he lost his re-election campaign. When asked about Trump's emotional response upon learning of his loss, Kushner said he didn't remember that the former president had one. Specifically, Kushner said of Trump, "I felt like he wasn't really showing his cards in the sense that he was just taking the information and going back to what he was doing." Asked if he could tell if Trump was surprised by the result, Kushner simply said, "I don't know.
I don't know. You think he'd be a little mad, right? Some emotion, but again, I mean, Trump knew, and the Republicans knew. You know, think back. It seems so obvious. Trump failing miserably on his reaction to the pandemic. Of course, the economy went into the tank under Trump's watch. He did sign some legislation that allowed for some, you know, funding to go to the people. Let's not forget that. Republicans, when you get all mad about it, and a lot of Republicans cashed those checks. But Trump, you know, Trump was just a terrible president. He was a terrible president. The economy was terrible under Trump. If you recall, once again, a Democratic president had to clean up the mess from the last guy. And I get it. You know, you're kind of inherit a pandemic. What do you do? Well, you could have done some things different. And if you believe some of the statistics and the articles that are out there, perhaps Trump's lack of action could have killed a million of his own followers. But I digress. Trump knew back in the early days when he was telling Bob Woodward about how dangerous the virus was, of course, playing an entirely different role to us. He knew it was bad, and he knew it was bad, and he downplayed it specifically because he understood that this would be a weight against him in his reelection. So he wanted to downplay it as much as he could to have so it wouldn't have the impact that he hoped it would not have. Well, of course, that wasn't the case. He can't do that. The virus doesn't give a damn what your political ambitions are. It goes around no matter who. So Donald Trump knew it. Then he was preparing himself, not only himself, but us, planting the seed corn in early spring, hell, late winter, February, March, before the election. Mail-in ballots, we'll never win another election again. We can't trust this. You know, all those things. Where did this come from? Well, it started back then. Well, he was laying down the groundwork. And he knew he was going to lose. And Republicans knew he was going to lose. I can't believe they thought that he was going to win.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Jim Santel for just a few more minutes. As you point out, this is a civil trial, not a criminal trial. You think that the Trump org will end up with the death penalty under New York law.
Letitia James, she's doing a civil case, right? This is a criminal matter.
Oh, it is. So I misunderstood.
It is, yes.
Normally I leave the being wrong to Dom.
Right?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Hey, son.
How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy tonight with lows around 23. Northwest winds around 5 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 36. Chance for mixed precipitation tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 30. Overcast. Overcast skies Sunday with highs in the low 40s. Chance for scattered rain showers Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Here's your Devil Radio forecast. Lows level off around 23 tonight under partly cloudy skies. Winds out of the northwest around 5 miles an hour. High of 36 tomorrow. Cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies tomorrow night. Chance for mixed precipitation. Lows dip down to about 30. Cloudy skies expected Sunday with highs in the low 40s. Chance for scattered rain showers Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
Let's go! Party Rock is in the house tonight. Everybody just have a good time.
60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Everybody just have a good time.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Every day we're shuffling at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I'm shuffling through some of the reporting accounts of the January 6th transcripts newly released. Found some over at the CNN, Dom. Key findings from the latest January 6th panel transcripts, including from Don Jr. and others. But I want to turn to Fredo, if you will. Don Jr., Dom. Donald Trump Jr. explains why he texted Mark Meadows on November 5th about plans to keep his dad in office. Donald Trump Jr. told the committee the reason he texted Meadows a detailed plan about how to ensure his father would get a second term 2 days after the 2020 presidential election was because he thought the ideas were, according to the transcript, the most sophisticated, and they sounded plausible. Trump Jr.'s testimony revealed by the Select Committee yesterday provides new context to a text message CNN first reported on in April, where he lays out various ideas for keeping Trump in power by subverting the Electoral College process. Yeah, a little procedural coup, Dom. The November 5th text message outlines a strategy that is nearly identical to what allies of the former president attempted to carry out in the months that followed. Trump Jr., Fredo as I like to call him, Dom, makes specific reference to filing lawsuits and advocating recounts to prevent certain swing states from certifying their results, as well as having a handful of Republican state houses put forward slates of, let's just call them, fake Trump electors. If all that failed, according to Trump Jr.'s text, GOP lawmakers in Congress could simply vote to reinstall Trump as president on January 6, 2021. How'd that day turn out? This is a quote from the transcript. We have operational control, total leverage, the message rings. Moral high ground, POTUS must start second term now. Although Trump Jr. said that he was not the original author of the text, a point his lawyer made to CNN back in April, and that he did not remember who was the original author of the message. He explained to investigators why, out of all the messages he was being sent all the time, he felt this one was necessary to pass on to Meadows. Here's his quote. Perhaps in reading it, it was the most sophisticated, you know, and detailed, and again, about things I don't necessarily, you know too much about.
It's the most honest thing you've ever said, Junior.
But it sounded plausible, and I wanted to make sure that we were looking into issues brought up in the text, Trump Jr. said. Dominic Meadows did not initially respond to the original November 5th text, but when Trump Jr. followed up the next day to make sure he saw, so not only did he find that one, he followed up on that one when Meadows didn't respond. Trump's then chief of staff texted, "Much of this had merit. Working on this for Pennsylvania, so Pennsylvania, Georgia, and North Carolina are ready." It was all part of the plan.
That's all part of the plan, and Junior probably got an update because he doesn't recall from whom, which I'm sure, if the Department of Justice was so inclined that could track down, and these are cell phones, these are messages, these are little pings, they don't go away. You can find that information if you want to. I don't know, man. I think a lot of this testimony under greater scrutiny from the DOJ instead of under oath to a congressional committee would provide greater detail than I think we're getting from some of these witnesses.
Well, Trump Jr., Fredo, if you will, Dom, you know, got the weak short-term memory when it comes to what he said or did the morning of the January 6th. Here's a little bit more of the reporting from CNN. Trump Jr. said he didn't know Turning Point Action paid him and his fiancée, Kimberly Guilfoyle, $30,000 each for their appearance at the rally at the White House Ellipse. Didn't know I got $30,000. I mean, that'll buy a kilo or more, won't it, Tom? He said he thought the money was for an event at the Palm Beach Hilton in December, according to a transcript released on Thursday. Is he such a wanted man that he gets $30,000 here, $30,000 there? Right. Show up at the party.
He didn't memo it, right? What is this for exactly again?
My recollection was that we had spoken for them prior to Christmas at an event. We did annually and always got sort of paid for speaking fees to show up, Trump Jr. said. Then some cocaine and some green M&Ms, allegedly, Dom. In transcripts of their interviews with the House Select Committee, Trump Jr. and his new wife, Kimberly Guilfoyle, repeatedly said they didn't recall details and distanced themselves from events that led to the January 6th attack. Trump Jr. told the committee investigators, "I don't recall specifically," when asked if he ever received the $30,000, and "I don't know" when asked if Guilfoyle ever ended up getting paid. Throughout their testimony, Trump Jr. and Guilfoyle said they didn't remember specific conversations about rally planning and that they were in the dark about the particulars that were being put together. Guilfoyle also denied having conversations with anyone linking the rally to objections to Congress certifying Joe Biden's electoral win. What the hell were they rallying about then, Kimberly? Here's the quote. "I was not involved in any of that certification stuff. I couldn't even explain it to you to this day," she said, adding that she didn't know the significance of holding the rally on January 6th. I would point out, Kimberly Guilfoyle is a lawyer. She's not a rock just because she dates Don Jr.
She's Are you lawyer, suggesting, sure. Curdy, that perhaps they did remember and they were less than truthful in their sworn testimony to the January 6th committee?
I'm saying maybe. Maybe. But I'd bet on it. I'm doing a Google right now, man.
All right. Oh, well, on that as well, I know we got to go to a break here shortly, but let's throw this one out there. Lindsey Graham. "Just give me five dead voters." Also from CNN, after the 2020 election, Graham pledged to become a champion of then President Trump's election fraud claims if only Trump's advisors would give him information about dead voters, according to an account given to the January 6th committee. Senator Graham was saying, "Give me your information," Trump lawyer Christina Bob relayed to the committee about what Graham said in meetings days before the January 6th insurrection. "Just give me five dead voters," Bob said Graham told then White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows and others in Meadows' office at the White House. "Give me, you know, an example of illegals voting. Just give me a very small snapshot that I can take and champion," Bob added, relaying what Graham said at the time. The exchange with Graham highlights how the South Carolina Republican became involved in Trump's pressure campaign to overturn his election loss in Georgia and how the White House at the time was connecting with influential politicians to advance Trump's message of false election fraud claims. Graham was like, "Oh, I'd love to support the cause. I think it would be great to, you know, really show all the fraud. Send me a memo and show me, you know, what information you've got. I'll champion it." Bob also recalled from the conversation with Graham. According to a grand transcript of Bob's House testimony released on Thursday, Graham received a memo from the legal team working with Trump titled, "Chairman Graham, Dead Votes Memo for Your Consideration." Bob said he did nothing with it. Graham's office pointed out on Thursday that in the book Peril by Woodward, they previously described a similar exchange between Graham and the Trump advisors after receiving their memo. The senator was unconvinced of the fraud they claimed.
More Devil's Advocates, Hour 2, the happier happy hour. Last one of the year, Jenny Thomas's quote from the transcripts, "I admit it." What'd she admit?
I'll tell you. Come back.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show, and we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.